Why, Daisy, you're a bloody miracle. Could anyone among us have an inkling or a clue what magic feats or wizardry and voodoo you can do? And who would ever guess what powers you possess? And who would not be stunned to see you prove? There's more to us than surgeons can remove. So much more than we ever knew. So much more were we born to do. Should you draw back the curtain, these I am certain, you'll be impressed with you. On a clear day, rise and look around you, and you'll see you are on a clear. Will astound you that the glow of your being outshines every star. You feel a part of every mountain, sea, and shore. You can hear from far and
listening to KKUP Cupertino. Hello, you're listening to KKUP Cupertino 91.5 FM on your dial or our digital readout. I'm Jim McMahon, and this is One from the Heart. And before we go any further, I am going to play some information about our upcoming World Music Marathon.
Sponsored KKUP. Beginning at noon on October 9, you'll be treated to 60 hours of the finest world music on the planet, from Africa, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Our annual World Music Marathon will present both live and recorded music all the way through midnight Sunday, October 11. For an inspirational music-filled weekend, please turn your dial to KKUP, located at 91.5 FM on your radio dial.
And we're back.
I knew that.
Okay. And, of course, you might have guessed that our guest this week is the charismatic... Oh, you're on that one?
I'm on that.
Oh, that's right. Say something.
Now I'm on that one. One should be that one. Yeah, that one's that one.
That's the one.
Not only had to turn it on, had to turn it up. I missed that part.
That's right. We got four mics.
Yes, and And they're numbered in ways to make sure you're awake and paying attention.
I almost noticed that.
It's me.
It's Scout. Lichen Pathfinder. Bartlett Lichen Pears.
I knew that. I really did. I knew that. So welcome. What is this, October?
October the 7th.
It's moving so fast I lost track of what month this is. We're in wow.
The end of the first week.
Turn me down about one full line, because I am overdriving this mic badly. On mic 3? Yeah, there we go. Did that help? Yeah, maybe a little bit.
No.
I may have to, it may just be the headphone jack, so... We're still learning all the new gear here in the fancy new studio. So
yes.
That's very exciting.
And
while
we mentioned, we once again want to thank our members out there, our listeners that...
Everybody.
That donated to help make this move possible.
Everybody that helped. We appreciated that.
Very much.
Otherwise, we'd be like sitting on some street corner and having to pedal a bicycle to power the gear.
Yeah. Oh, and I want to thank all those who went out to... Silicon this last weekend at the DoubleTree. It was to raise money for juvenile diabetes and the Alzheimer's Foundation, and so on. And I would like to thank you, and I'm sure Dan Lopez, the head of Silicon, wants to thank you too.
Oh, sure, we'll all thank you. Wow.
Okay, movie.
Oh yes, movie.
Every now and then, you know, there have been so many remakes and so many from TV to movies out there that when someone comes around with a unique and original idea that is pure genius, you have to make note. And this weekend, I saw Zombieland.
You know, I've been surprised to hear some relatively good things about Zombieland.
Very funny, very unique. You know, someone took a chance, and I think it worked.
Cool.
So I highly recommend Zombieland.
Isn't that something? I mean, wouldn't you not expect to be recommending Zombieland? It didn't sound like anything that I'd want to do anything other than, you know, eventually get from Netflix and watch at midnight.
It has, of course, Woody Harrelson, who was from Cheers fame.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He's
Cheers
there.
And Golden Gate Bridge fame.
Yeah. And also Jesse Eisenberg, who's been on a couple, notably a little movie that was called The Squid and the Whale. It wasn't about a squid and a whale. It was about family relationships. But he was very good in that. And I just saw him not too long ago in another movie, and I'm trying to remember what it was. But anyway, you're going to look up Jesse Eisenberg. Well, look up Zombieland and go right to his name.
There you go. That'll solve it.
Yep.
That'll solve it. Cool. So you liked that one.
I really liked it. I really enjoyed it.
I think that's cool.
I want to see it again.
Really?
Yes. It is.
Again?
It is that good.
That's impressive. Very cool. You know, I haven't seen a single movie it's only been a week since I saw you, but I don't think I've watched a single movie since I saw you last. I've been catching up a little bit on some TV series that I hadn't watched, but... That's cool. So Zombieland, I will go out and check that out. Boy, I hope this is... Well, I know I was listening to Catherine coming down, and it was relatively clean. So I'm just going to assume that it's the preamp feeding the headphones that's buzzing out the mics today. And we'll just assume that out there in listener land, we sound wonderful. Like, I'd prefer that we sound better than we sound in person.
I'm sure we do.
I think that would be a perfect plan. We'll just sound better than we sound in person.
So, this being the second Wednesday of your three Wednesday streak.
My three Wednesday streak. It sounds like a real winning streak, doesn't it?
It does.
That's cool. So I will be back again next week, but I will warn everybody. Normally I'm on the 1th of the month Wednesday and the 9th of the month Wednesday, the first and the last one, but not this month, because this month I have been outranked and superseded by a novella, a two-week series novella by Fred Wehe.
Yes.
Do we know the title for that?
Oh, he told me, and I can't remember. All I can say, it's a ghost tale.
Ghost tale. Well, that's a nice lead-in, because yes. I want to tell everybody that this evening I'll be at our Clock Tower Conference Center. It's up on my website. This evening I'll be at the Clock Tower Conference Center doing a workshop about everything I've learned from talking to people after they passed over. So it's life after death and before, because it turns out that people after they pass over have a lot of insights about what the purpose of life was when they were alive. But really the special, and I want to make sure people know about it, because I won't be here to tell you about it then. Halloween itself falls on a Saturday this year, and I am privileged enough that East West Bookstore in Mountain View has, oh my goodness, maybe I'm not going to sneeze. Maybe I'll get away without it. There we go. Thought I was going to sneeze right into the microphone. Anyway, East West has invited me to be their presentation Saturday evening, All Hallows Eve, Halloween. Now, I know since Halloween's falling on a Saturday, everybody and their brother is going to throw a party and be invited to 12 parties. But I want to point out that the workshop starts at 7:30 and it's over at 9. So come to the workshop and then go to your Halloween party after the workshop.
Well,
and that'll work out perfectly. And in fact, I'm even going to give away a special gift to everyone who comes in costume.
Everyone knows that a real party doesn't start to after 9.
Oh, no kidding, unless it's for 6-year-olds.
Well, yeah.
But if it's a grown-up party, I mean, trust me, it's not going to be hopping before 9:30.
No,
even if
no.
It's like AARP folks like us, you know?
No.
It's not going to be hopping until after 9:30. So that's perfect, because what I'll be doing at East West is real ghost stories. Not just, you know, and the teenage couple drove away from the parking place and there was a hook hanging off the car door. No. These are real ghost stories. My experiences with real ghosts.
Every year on Halloween, I don't know if he's going to do it this year because he's actually no longer the MC of Coast to Coast AM. Art Bell used to have Ghost to Ghost. And which really unique. Some of the tales kind of made the hair go up on the back of your neck.
Well, certainly the experiences have made my hair stand on end, that's for sure. So I'll be doing real ghost stories at East West, in addition to, doing some real teaching. It's not just going to be booga booga. It'll be doing some real teaching, but everybody's invited. There's no minimum age on this one. As long as, you know, whoever it is that you're bringing with you can sit in a chair for an hour and a half, then they're good, which is easy. Any movie's an hour and a half. So that'll be at East West can't say that. Never mind. Look it up on the website, because there's special things to be had, but there will be a gift for everyone who comes in costume, and that's Halloween itself. And the reason I'm hammering that one is that, you know, you don't expect there to be events on Halloween, because you figure everybody gives way to the parties. And so I want to make sure people know I'm going to be there, because it's going to be a blast. We are going to have a seriously good time, and I want to push the wall again. East West has a foldable, collapsible wall, and we have pushed the wall. It turns out that we sold out, but they've figured out a new seating arrangement so that they've actually got more chairs able than they used to have, and I want to sell it out again under the new arrangement.
And I don't know if they're doing it this year or not, but a lot of the shopping malls in the past would, so that you could bring your child to trick-or-treat in a safe environment, they would open up the malls for trick-or-treating.
You know, that's one of the saddest urban myths, because it's ruined Halloween and trick-or-treating, and it's all urban myth.
Yeah, the razor blades and the...
None of that stuff. I mean, people have researched it, and they've not been able to find any place where any of that ever happened, with the exception of one case where a parent brought in an apple, but all the evidence seemed to indicate that the person that put the razor blade in the apple was the parent that brought the apple in. So, you know, it's just, it's too bad because Halloween trick-or-treating is such a groovy thing, and yet urban myth took over and suddenly everybody's afraid to do it. Although, certainly last year we got 200 and some people at my house, so, you know, kids are still getting to do it, but this year, I won't be at my house. I'll be at East West Bookstore, and hopefully so will you. You know, just put out a bowl and a little sign that says, please only take one, and then head on over. Plus, you can catch the early trick-or-treaters and then head on over, because we don't start till 7:30. So that will be a blast. And then again, tonight at the... Oh, I should give the website if I'm going to tell people the information's there, shouldn't I?
Yes, you should.
All right. My website is all the W's, lifeinsights.net. Or the .com shortcut is...
Not Scott.
And my brother taught me the coolest thing, which I'm sure probably everybody out there already knows, but I think it's cool. You know when you're in either your Internet Explorer or you're in your Firefox?
Firefox.
Where, you know, that place where you type the address, which is called the address bar, oddly enough. Don't type any W's. Just type not, N-O-T, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, and then hold down the control key, C-T-R-L, for those people that don't know that. Hold down the control key and hit enter. And that'll actually put www and .com onto the address for you. So for any .com, all you have to do is type their address, hold control and hit enter, and that'll put the W's and the .com on there for you. It's very cool. And if you hold down... I think it's control shift enter. It'll make it a .org. I don't know how to make it a .net. Maybe somebody will email me and tell me how to make it a .net. But anyway, go to notscott.com or .net, and that'll take you into lifeinsights.net. And then from there, you can go to one of the month, and that'll give you all of the details about where and whatever for tonight's workshop.
Is that on the right side of the webpage?
It's on the right side of the webpage. It actually absolutely is. And I was hoping that they would have stuff set up so that you could record Fred's book, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
No, it doesn't.
Well, I will say that if they're able to record Fred's book, I have offered web space to put that up on my website for additional replay, assuming that Fred would like to do that. But we don't know if that's going to be technically feasible yet.
And it's over 2 weeks, the first half.
So basically, make sure you listen to One from the Heart every Wednesday morning from 8 till 9.
Well, that works.
Yeah, so listen next week. You'll get some more of me. Listen the week after. You'll get some Fred. Listen the week after. You get some more Fred.
I would like to encourage everybody to do that.
Every Wednesday. Just do it. You know, just make plans at work. Just tell them you're calling in McMillan.
Yeah.
You're calling in McMillan. You won't be into work on Wednesdays until just after 9. So that you can listen, right? 8 to 9, right? 8 to 9.
Yeah, 8 to 9.
Okay,
yeah.
You threw me. You looked at me funny for a second. I thought, oh my gosh, have I got the wrong times?
No, that's right.
I do a couple of programs. They're different times, but this one I thought was 8 to 9.
Yeah.
Very cool. So last week, when we last saw our hero, the car was headed over the cliff with the doors welded shut. those serials used to be so hysterical, and yet they would still captivate me. The Men from Mars was my favorite with the really hokey little outfits. Anyway, when we last saw our heroes last week, we were talking a little bit about, well, actually about a bunch of stuff. I listened to the show back, and I listened to it back. Oh, yes, I did. A friend of mine recorded it for me and sent it. So that is how I listened to it back. And it's like I wandered all over the place last week. There were many things to talk about. So just as today, if we were to get into politics, we could talk about Mr. Schwarzenegger's grandstand play of do it my way or I mess with everybody in the whole state. If I don't get what I want, he's doing a fabulous version of a... Well, I'll call it a 5-year-old tantrum. I get it my way or nobody's going to be happy. A 5-year-old's tantrum.
A 5-year-old Terminator.
There you go. So that would be the preschoolinator or something? Anyway.
I've always said I really like Arnold. I like Arnold a lot, and I can hardly wait for him to make his next movie.
Yes. Well said. Yeah, wouldn't it be nice? It'll be good when we can free him up to actually do what he does so well. Meanwhile, So mostly what I was aiming at, though, was because I'd had another plan in mind, but we can't do that yet because it involves callers, and we can't do callers yet in our fabulous new back cave. I just noticed they color-coded the CD players. How clever.
And they color-coded the...
That's very cool. That's very cool. They did some very cool stuff in the new studios. The lighting's sort of snazzy. The studio's sort of cool. It's kind of fun that they've got a... Yeah, anyway. Very cool. Very fun stuff. Very, very nice. Very, very usable looking. You know, it's got that nice utilitarian look about it, and yet still snazzy. Anyway, they even color-coded the wall, but I'm not sure I know exactly what that means. So I was talking a little bit, well, let's just talk about me for a minute. Enough about all you listeners, let's talk about me. And not about me per se, but about the experience. Those that don't know me, hi, my name is Scout. Like Pathfinder and Bart, I don't know why I do that, and Bartlett like pears. I'm so glad this show is radio and not video, or that would look really dumb. But it's Scout Bartlett, and part of the reason that Jim has me on the program is that I am a practical mystic. Not practically, but practical. A practical mystic, we could translate that as... I'm not just out there floating in woo-woo land and only looking at the nethers of esoteric information, but that I've actually developed my ability to access my own psychic input, my own psychic awareness, my own intuitive. I've actually developed my ability to access my own intuitive awareness. And developed it because I have an engineering degree. I have a degree in electrical engineering from Washington University in St. Louis, a school that's becoming ever more famous. This most recent, it was the host of the soundbite contest between Sarah Palin and Joe Biden. That was interesting. It wasn't really a debate. It was just a soundbite contest.
Yeah.
So Sarah, I'm sorry, I didn't say her full name, Sarah, I quit Palin and Joe Biden. But Washington U, I have a degree in electrical engineering, computer science focus, which sure seems like I ought to be out there doing all that stuff. But as it turned out, my life took slightly different directions. And I ended up, first it was my hobby. It was my hobby to learn more about how people tick. And in particular, learn more about how I tick. And like, all right, we'll say it right out loud. Like virtually every psychiatrist, psychologist, and psychotherapist out there, I got intrigued because there were some parts of me that didn't tick quite right. And I wanted to figure out how to untalk the ticks and tick the talks or something like that. I wanted things to get to tick a little. I wanted to be more like a Swiss watch. Thank you. I wanted to be a little smoother in how I ticked, and maybe not every person that studies psychology or therapy goes into it because they want to figure themselves out, but many do, and I did. And so personal development became my hobby. I was really studying how the mind works, how consciousness works in all those Eastern traditions, how consciousness works, what that was all about, and how it all works together. And in doing that, I was very few of the trainings I ever took were psychic development, per se. Well, apparently the phones ring. Very few of the trainings I ever took were psychic development. They were instead personal development or consciousness development. And so this was more about cleaning up my own background chatter than it was about trying to develop my psychic stuff. And in fact, one organization, I studied with a man named Paul Larson, a brilliant enlightened being, developed a set of workshops, first called Playground and later called Summit Workshops. But in studying with Paul in that organization, the organization got so focused into making sure that people were working on their real world life that they had a tendency to be somewhat disparaging about psychic stuff until I thought that Paul himself was against it. And it turns out that people perhaps misunderstood, because I had conversations with Paul about the fact that as I did more and more awareness development within myself, as I cleared out more and more of the, call it stuff in the way about myself, as I cleared out the mind chatter, or in some cases just got familiar with that program, those programmed tapes of mind chatter inside myself, as I got either familiar with them or cleared them out, my access to my intuition and my ability to discern what it was I was picking up psychically picked up across the board. And I was thinking maybe this was weird. And fortunately, I had a chance to talk with Paul himself and had a chance to say, Paul, I know that the group is really thinking that psychic stuff is airy-fairy, but this is what's going on for me. And his response was, well, of course that would happen for you, Scout. As you get more and more of the static out of the way, you'll be more and more clear to receive that intuitive input that you've had. So I found out that he wasn't against it. He just didn't think it was the point. And I have to agree with him. I would have to say that, quite frankly, from my own opinion, there are trainings that are specifically only about developing that psychic input without any cleaning up of the receiver. So this would be like, great, let me turn up the volume on your radio, even though your radio has a lot of static in it. You know, or a lot of distortion, or whatever you want to say, cross programming. So, like one example would be some time back, a dear friend of mine's daughter sort of shyly brought her girlfriend. I was over the house visiting, and they were teens, and they sort of shyly came over, and her daughter introduced me to her girlfriend, and yeah, hi, and says, "Could we ask you a question?" Well, sure. Well, she, the girlfriend, just had a reading with somebody, and that person told her that her boyfriend is all wrong for her, and that she might as well break it up because that relationship's not going anywhere, and she really, really likes this boyfriend. And well, we wondered if you could tell us why that person said that, which is always interesting. Why did this other reader say what they said? That's like, you know, asking me, why did Rush Limbaugh say what he said? Well, I never know if he said what he said because he believed it, because he thought it would be funny, or because he thought it would get ratings.
Yeah.
So I went to tune into the girl first, and I could not see what the other reader had seen. So then I had to psychically tune into this other practitioner and immediately saw what the issue was. The other practitioner, the other practicing psychic, had not done their homework about getting their own point of view out of the way. Now, whether you're working with a psychic or a therapist, or a physician, or a psychiatrist, or a stockbroker, or an insurance salesman, or even someone recommending a computer, you have to figure out whether their point of view is entering into their recommendation. You have to. Because then you have to evaluate whether their point of view matches up to your point of view. I've noticed that when I'm shopping for a computer at Fry's, if the salesperson I'm talking to is a heavy-duty gamer and still living at dad's house and therefore have all of their income available for their tech toys, they'll recommend a different computer to me than if the person I'm talking to, let's say, has a spouse that's actually in the business world and uses their computer for business, not just for high-speed multiplayer games. Okay? Because there turns out that there's different things you need, and you may not even need, I mean, the gamer wants whatever it is that says it's the fastest with the fastest crunch on it, and it turns out that you may not need to spend that extra grand if what you're going to do is word processing and email. So it doesn't matter whether it's a psychic or a computer salesman or an insurance salesman or a stockbroker, you want to know how much of their own view is still in the mix. Well, in this particular case, for this young girl, the reader she'd been to was we're going to assume it's politically correct to say the reader she'd been to was a very dominant woman. And so the only kind of men that I could see that that reader found as interesting relationships had to be somewhat submissive men, because the reader herself always wanted to take the lead and have the control of a relationship.
Are we talking about a real person?
I've never met the individual. I only read on them psychically. But yes, the story's real. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I looked at the young girl, not with my perspective, but to look from her perspective, she really preferred a relationship where the guy took the lead and she had a vote. So the boy that she was dating, while I agreed, I mean, she was 17, I did not expect this to be the relationship for the rest of her life. It was a really good relationship. She was having a good time. She was being treated well. She was being treated respectfully. She was exploring a little bit about that having a vote part, but it was a pretty good relationship for that point in her life. But for the other reader, this boy never would have fit because he liked to take the lead. So this other person giving advice had not taken the advisee into account, because seemingly they had never gotten familiar enough with themselves to recognize that they themselves had a perspective that was not universal. That was a complicated sentence. They'd never looked into themselves to see that they had their own set of programming and that not everybody has that same programming. It's sort of like Karl Rove's view of the world, where Karl Rove has clearly never looked to see if maybe any of the other views of the world might work. It was his view or not, and that's how he functions, and, you know, God bless him for it. He certainly changed the world and will be remembered for that.
Most definitely.
And differently by different people, because as it turns out, not everybody even agrees about Karl Rove. So no matter who you would go to, and again, I don't care whether it's a computer salesperson, a cell phone salesperson, a stockbroker, or a psychic, or a therapist, or a psychiatrist, you want to see, or you want to keep an eye out to see whether they've learned enough about themselves to recognize the difference between their view and their therapy, or the, well, their input for you. Because, of course, you know, a computer salesman's not doing therapy, hopefully. But you want to see whether or not they've done enough work on themselves to recognize the difference between their view and what would work for you, or to even recognize that they have a view. Now, it's interesting for me because periodically, even when I'm in a reading with someone, doing session work with someone, periodically I will encounter something that I'm ready to tell the client that lines up exactly with what I would think. And so I have to recognize that that lines up with what I would think. So I don't know for sure whether it's just my thought or an accurate psychic hit. See, when it doesn't line up with what I would think, not necessarily counter to it, just slightly different path, when I would think blue and this is slightly chartreuse or something, it's easy to recognize, ah, that's not my thought. That's a clear psychic hit. Sometimes it lines up with what I think, but not the way I would word it. That's a clear psychic hit. Sometimes it lines up with what I would think exactly the way I would word it. And then I literally have to tell my client, you know what? I got to tell you, this next piece is exactly what I might think of under these circumstances. So you need to take it with a grain of salt, because this might have just been my thought. And I don't have such a high opinion of my own thought to think that my advice from me personally is, you know, particularly more significantly accurate than any given bar stool in town, you know? Because if you just want advice of just what somebody that you don't know thinks, you know, wander into any bar between about 2 and 4:30, and you'll find at least two or three people really ready to give you advice on anything you'd like to ask about, whether they know anything about it or not. So a ton of my work was actually all about getting me out of the way, clearing up my own background chatter so that it was clearing up my own background chatter for my own life, quite frankly. And as I did that, my natural native abilities to access my intuitive connection to the part of us that's much bigger than the first five senses. You know, because, well, just all of you out there driving along or listening at home or in your office, wherever it may be, just check this out. Have you ever walked into a room, and we're not talking walking into, you know, McDonald's where they've made it ugly on purpose in hopes that you'll leave in a hurry, get your food and go, but walked into a normal room and immediately had, or say a group of people or a party or something, and immediately had a feel about it, a sense of it, we'll say, where it either sensed, where you either sensed this was a really great place to be, or you sensed a, hey, I'm not so sure I'm going to like this. Or if you've ever met somebody, and we're not talking, you know, your dad's sort of questionable Uncle Charlie, but somebody that you didn't have a lot of background on, and yet you immediately had a sense about them of either, oh, wow, it feels like I've known them forever, or I feel like I can really trust them, or, ooh, I'd better count my fingers after I shake hands with them to make sure I got them all back, you know? Have you ever done, you know, so everybody that's never done either of those, raise your hand. Now, we'll just check it. Everybody that has done one or the other, and I suddenly feel like Romper Room. I'm looking through the magic mirror. I see Johnny and Billy and Scout and Teddy and Alice and Fred. Everybody that has had one of those experiences, well, if you're driving, keep your hands on the wheel, but sort of raise a finger so that you'll acknowledge that you're recognizing it. Well, if that sensing of the room or that sensing of the person didn't come from your eyes or your ears or your sense of smell, for heaven's sakes, because this is America, it's illegal to smell. Except good, you're supposed to smell like commercial products. So if it didn't come from your eyes or your ears or your sense of smell or your sense of touch, and it wasn't because you tasted them, somehow that came out sounding wrong. It thought okay, but it said badly. If it didn't come from one of the first five senses, then that sense of that person or that sense of that room, if it didn't come from one of the first five senses, it had to have come from the sixth ones, right? That sixth sense part of us. Well, as I cleared out the mind chatter, the na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and became more quiet within, my ability to access the input of that sixth sense, and it turned out I had been afflicted with more than a common amount of that stuff in the first place. So it had actually, truthfully, that's what had driven me crazy enough to make me want to understand how I ticked and to try to understand people because it felt like I wasn't one. It truly did. And that's part of, that's one of the symptoms of intuition, by the way. I mean, I really felt when I sensed inside the human bodies around me, the essence that I sensed in there didn't seem to be doing the same things that the one inside my body was doing. And so I, for a long time, I thought maybe I was just sort of a cosmic filing error that, you know, whatever, that which was God somewhere up there in that God thing had inadvertently put me into one of these. And that any day now, that which was God would be going through their file drawer and they'd look and they'd go, oh my gosh, look at that. They put one of those entities into one of those human bodies. Oh, that's got to be weird. And then boop, I'd be out of here and boop, I'd be into whatever it is that they really put things like me into. And then I'd be normal wherever I was. I kept sort of expecting that. And I finally figured out it wasn't that I was a filing error. I was a minority curriculum, kind of like, well, at Washington U, they have a fabulous art school, but it's a, I don't remember how many kids. Kids, yeah, we didn't think we were kids, but we were 20,000 or something like that. There's like maybe 20,000 kids there that are studying, that are primarily studying pre-med and engineering and pre-law. And then there's like 700 of them that are studying art, you know. So it turns out I was just a minority curriculum. So I was like the one of the 700 art students at a 20,000 student university where the person in front of me was frantically worried about getting into Calc 1. And so, and the person behind me was frantically worried about getting into bio, you know, organic chemistry so that they could get their pre-med. And there I was thinking, oh my God, I need to be signing up for Calc 1 and organic chemistry. And what am I supposed to do? When do we get out our brushes and start pushing paint? So those of you that recognize that sensation, it's not that you're alone on the planet. It's certainly not that you're a mistake. It's just that you're a minority curriculum. You've come in this life experience, this incarnation, in order to blend that spiritual part of yourself together with the part of you that's living real world. If you believe in multiple lifetimes or if you believe in group souls, whichever way you want to go, either the prior souls of your group or the prior souls of your DNA strand or your prior lifetimes, any way you want to work with that, have already done a whole lot of being in a human body, being totally spiritually focused and being cloistered. You know, you were a priest that was cloistered away or a nun that was cloistered away or just one of those little spiritual hermits that talked to God and ate crickets and lived in a cave on top of a mountain. Any of those or, Buddhist priest or whatever it was, cloistered away. You've done that, or your group has done that, or your DNA has done that. This was the lifetime to blend the two, to be in the world and still very much in that spiritual sense of you. And that's clearly what this was, because it started out as my hobby. I was drawn to study consciousness, personal development, and personal growth. And I was drawn to study it the way that some people are drawn to play basketball, and that's what they do every evening after school or every night after work or every lunch break. Or some people are drawn to do sewing or crafting or whatever. It was virtually inescapable for me. As soon as I found out you could study this stuff, that was what I did when I wasn't at work, and it sort of made filling out those resumes tricky. Hobby, look inside myself. It was not cool at that time. Now it would be, because that was when the self-help section of the bookstore was like one bookshelf long, not one whole floor to ceiling, but one shelf. Whereas now there's a self-help section, there's a spiritual section, there's a new age section, there's a metaphysical section, and they're all whole bookcases full. So it's much cooler now. It wasn't then. So all of that work that I was doing, clearing myself and opening out my mind and getting used to and recognizing and learning how to deal with my inner mind chatter, all of that went on in order to bring forward my spiritual essence. Because it turns out that this lifetime, my life path, is one of bringing forward my connection between that mystical realm and a practical world. So I have this deep mystical nature connection and an engineering degree, and I was raised by an engineer. My brother's an engineer. My dad met my mom in a math class in college. My grandfather was in a technical field. It was all there. So it was all hammered in. So I've got this very practical application part of me and this deep connection to mystical, which is how I ended up being dubbed Practical Mystic. Because while I'm working in this spiritual energy stuff and chakras, those spinning balls of energy inside of you and energy patterns, and have this apparently remarkable knack at being able to detect and sense and work in energy patterns on people and have that make a difference, all of the differences are focused on their spiritual development as exemplified in the opening of their real life and their real life path. So that your spiritual development is actually coordinated with your life path, and your life path is coordinated with your life's work. Now, as it turns out, my life path and my life work look a lot alike. It's spiritual development, but the funny part is my life path is me opening me deeper and deeper into consciousness and expanding the energy levels that radiate through me to higher and higher frequencies. My life work turns out to be sharing those discoveries with clients and classes and workshops and so forth, like the thing I'm doing East-West on Halloween evening. Sharing those discoveries with others so that they take a shortcut. Because one of the oddball parts about me is that I'm sort of a slow learner, and I'm still an engineer. And so, it's kind of like if you've ever tried to learn, well, every now and then my brother and I will be talking, and I'll try and get technical input from him because he's very tech savvy. my brother, the engineer. He's very tech savvy, and I'll try to get technical input from him about how to do something on my computer or whatever. And he's gotten much better over the years because he's working in a place where he has to do that more frequently where he works now, talk to his lessers. But for a long time, trying to get my brother to explain to me how to do something on the computer was a painful experience for both of us. Because so much of it was obvious to him that he'd never had the learning curve to learn the steps of it. It went from A to Q in one step, and then Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z was the important part. And so I observed for myself that he would skip over huge segments or just assume that I already knew what various stuff meant and what various stuff was interpreted to be, because he'd never had to learn that. It had always been obvious. So I've noticed that, you know, the same thing goes if you try to learn a sport from somebody where the sport was incredibly natural to them. They don't know how to teach you the fundamentals or the basics. We noticed that most of the phenomenal athletes in baseball and football don't coach successfully. They might try, but they don't coach successfully because they never had to step back and learn the fundamentals. I've talked with other very bright people that found that when they stepped out of high school and into college, they ran into some issues because high school had been so transparent and easy that they'd never learned how to study, how to take something apart and learn it from scratch. They just gobbled it up as it was taught in high school, and that's all they had to do. They didn't have to read the book. Well, fortunately, in life, I am a somewhat slow learner. And then I'm an engineer. So once I learn something, I reverse engineer it so that I'll make sure that I've learned it. So that it turns out that lots of things I do in my classwork, we're developing a website now. It's not up. It's not there. But I will say that around Thanksgiving time, we're doing a workshop the Sunday after Thanksgiving at East West Bookshop again. Specifically, it's aimed for all age brackets, but we're really gearing it toward the, I think we either said 15 or 16 and up. So I'll say if we said 16, if you've got a 15-year-old that can sit still and look 16, you know, as they say in the film business, if they could play 16, we'll let them in. That'd be fine. But we're really gearing it there. We're setting up, building up a website, which is the website domain is Wish I'd Known Then, as in what I know now. Gearing that information, but even with my adult clients, and I've worked with kids all the way down to really young, actually. Even with my adult clients, my whole gearing is the things that I've learned spiritually and then recognized the physical, real-life applications of, sometimes stuff that I've worked on and figured out and learned for over the course of 5 years, we can get it transferred and taught in 5 or 10 weeks. And that's the point, is seeing how things work. My gig is seeing how things work from an energetic level. It's sort of like being able to look from the bottom up, not having to just deal with the symptomology. But it would be like if you could go into a hospital and they could plug a computer into, you know, plug you into the computer, and it actually looked at a cellular level through your whole body and could see what was going on at a cellular level, then they wouldn't have so much of medicine that just treats symptoms, because it wouldn't have to treat the symptoms. As it turns out, if you can fix the core of the cause, you don't have to treat the symptoms because they'll go away. And like when we do, we've got one class we call the healing class, and I'm going to be, it is fall already. It's later this fall already, isn't it?
Well, we're a month into it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you know, we're in October and fall, and yeah, and my brain starts in September and ends at the end of November. So we're, anyway, I'm intending to start it later this year. I will mention, for those of you that do study with me already, we're going to be doing a continuation, which is the advanced level of the manifestation work we've been teaching. The prerequisite is I need you to have done one of the manifestation trainings that I've done in the last 18 months, because we've been gearing up what we're doing like crazy. So those of you that have studied, or if you've done a lot of other work in consciousness, we could talk to you and see if you're the singular exception that we would let in. That's going to be on Wednesday nights. But on Thursday nights, I'm planning anyway, it might be Tuesdays instead. Late this year, I'm going to be teaching the healing class. And one of the things we've watched in the healing class is that we'll do energy work on one level in the class, along with some consciousness work, get your mind involved and get stuff to free up and move. And then the following week at class, many of the class members will notice that the same things in different versions have changed in their life during the week in between. I'm that literal. You know, they'll literally notice this got different or that got different or this caught my attention now because this was out of the way already. So that we watch as we do the energy work and pull out the causation of some of the deep stuff that we get programmed with, things change out in their real world as quickly as within the next day. And they're noticing it. And they're noticing it's different. And they're noticing it across the board in the class. Like multiple class members, somebody will ask a question and half the rest of the class will suddenly go, oh yeah, that did shift. What was that about? Mm-hmm. If we get, so the way that I, because of this peculiar knack of seeing things in energy patterns and it's growing deeper as I continue to grow, because that is the whole point, everything I teach everybody else is just a side effect of my life's work, which is me growing. Me learning, me expanding my awareness, but doing it in that slow learner mode that lets me take it apart and teach it in such a way that other people get it much more quickly than I do because it's already fully represented in the energy pattern and because I can see the shortcuts from having reverse engineered it. So it's a sort of an odd combination of an engineering degree and apparently a, I mean, I can only say apparently because from inside it just feels normal. You know, when somebody asks me the question, what's it feel like to be psychic? The only answer I have for that question is, I don't know. Tell me what it feels like to be not psychic and I'll tell you what my normal, I'll tell you how my normal is different than your normal, which again is back to that same modality of expanding our awareness. Expanding our awareness and moving out of the assumptions that how we see the world is how the world is. You know, they've done some tremendous studies in science and they've been able to recognize that not the same thing happens in my physical brain when I look at a red light on the wall than what happens in your physical brain when you look at a red light on the wall. Different brain response. Well, I have to assume it's a different thing going on. We both learn to mutually agree that the experience I'm having that I call red and the experience you're having that you call red, both label that same thing. So we assume that we're seeing the same thing. But then you get down to that classic story of police gathering eyewitness accounts. You know, if you have 20 people that witnessed an event, you'll have probably 25 different stories of what happened. Because people will see different things, or they'll catalog it differently, or they'll even conclude different things about what was important. Same thing happens when you read a book or whatever. Wow. Or a movie. You know, didn't you love the scene when this? Well, no, I didn't notice that scene, but I thought this scene was really good. So, gosh, we've done it. That's all we get. So let me just tell you again. My name is Scout like Pathfinder, Bartlett like Pears, Scout Bartlett. You can find my website at www.lifeinsights.net. Or the .com shortcut is to go to notscott.com. Just type in N-O-T-S-C-O-T-T, control enter, and watch what happens, and that'll bring you in. I'll be doing a workshop tonight in Mountain View, and then I really, really would love it if you'd bring three friends with you and join me Halloween evening. We'll start at 7:30 at East West Bookstore, right there in the middle of Mountain View, so you can go out to a dinner beforehand. come to that event. I'll give you a prize if you're in costume, and then head out to the Halloween party that you're going to go to. Or, who knows, maybe you'll meet somebody at the event, and they'll be going to an even better party, and you can go along with them.
You never know.
Because there's always an amazingly cool group of people that come to my events at East West. And that's everything that I could say. So from Scout, I just want to remind you to treat yourself as a loved one, because you truly are. And today is a perfect day for you to go out and have a great day on purpose.
And from the heart, be good to one another.
So long, Doctor. See you later.
On a clear day, rise and look around, and you'll see. The glow.